Welcome back to Software and Systems Engineering. This is part of the Future Car podcast from Siemens Digital Industry Software. This is our fourth episode so far in our discussion of how a model-based systems engineering approach with software and systems engineering is poised to alter the automotive market. So far, we've covered the integration of software and hardware requirements of the final vehicle in early development with product definition. And last episode, we discussed how connected engineering is bringing diverse design, development, and engineering teams together efficiently through a digitalized workflow. If you're a new listener, episode one provides a nice high-level overview of what we have and will be covering over the course of the series, so make sure to check it out. So joining us again is Nand Kochhar, VP of Automotive and Transportation Industries for Siemens Digital Industry Software. Today, we will be discussing product validation, the virtual verification and validation of the intended product, combining functional and physical behaviors. So first of all, welcome, Nand. You're going for the record on our guest appearances.
Thanks, Connor. Happy to be here.
Well, we're very happy to have you again. So to start off, today is all about product validation. And this doesn't sound really like a new concept. So is this pillar just for posterity, or what's new about making sure that the final vehicle is meeting the requirements set in the product definition?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. Product validation is not new, so to say. But while the concepts behind product validation are mature, there's a new approach. And that new approach has been updated for digital development processes. As companies embrace digitalization, there's a lot they can leverage in product verification and validation. And that's what is really makes them efficient from a timing standpoint, as well as for delivery of the product with high quality. And that's what we want to talk about. One of the things is when we talked in our first episode was looking at requirements and cascading those requirements for design and development. And the next step was doing the validation of those. Well, interestingly enough, during the design and development process, there's a verification going on simultaneously as well at a component or a subsystem at a system level, so that those systems, when are integrated together at a full vehicle level, are really successful in terms of the product validation. So you see there's a digitalization allows you to do that verification along the way, as well as bringing it all together for final integration and validation.
So what we're talking about here is really a continuous process throughout development rather than just one discrete step. So I'm curious, how does that work in the real world?
It is a very good and very important point, because in a very old way of product development, when you started from, you could say you're designing the product, then you will build a physical prototype, and then you're validating, or a combination of analytical and physical. And then as a result of that testing, you will come back and say, yep, had some failures, things didn't work out the way they were designed, so you'll start the cycle again. However, over the years, you have done a lot of correlation of the physical model's performance to the analytical models, and that has allowed you to do that verification and validating back to the requirements that are we satisfying those requirements along the way. So that's what makes it efficient, and that's what makes it a higher quality. So in design terms, you could say you are designing in quality versus waiting till the end of the product is done and you validate and see whether it met the quality standard or not. That sometimes can get very expensive. So I think that's a huge benefit you have in the continuous verification process.
And so does simulation play a big role in this kind of modern continuous verification?
Yeah, simulation plays a very big role. So there's elements of simulation that is mature enough and allows you to verify just within the simulation mode itself. So in other words, you have standards, you have requirements cascaded to a level, and you have enough confidence in your models that when you simulate and you can satisfy whether you meet those requirements or not. In fact, this even applies and gets me excited about in your software development or software-centric approaches, you want to validate that your software works as well. And so this is happening through the simulation along the way. And then, of course, at the end of it, you could have a combination of a physical testing as well as the simulation. In some areas, when you bring in new technologies, when you bring in new concepts, when you're introducing new materials, you might not have a simulation models that you can rely on right off the bat. You have to validate them. You have to tweak them. You have to adjust them based on the testing parameters, results, etc. So that's where you could have a combination of test results overlaid with the simulation results and see how well they correlate. And that opens up another science of how do you trust the test results are always right? And that builds into you need to make sure the material models you're using, they are right. So now I'm kind of going deeper into the technical aspects, but you can see how this all comes together as a combination of pure analytical verification for mature technologies, mature materials, mature designs, and for new innovations, new concepts coming in, you have a combination of some level of physical testing and the analytical testing with the goal of always, how can we be the most efficient? We do physical testing only when it's absolutely necessary to get some information and insights for something we can't do it via simulation.
That's really fascinating. And that's such an interesting distinction between kind of the benefits of both simulation and physical testing. So I'm curious, do you have any examples of this being done in the real world?
Yeah, I think in today's automotive established companies who have been on a digitalization path and a simulation path, this is being done every day at some level. And obviously, they always have goals of getting to, in theory, in parentheses, you could say zero prototype, or a reduced number of prototypes, which might result into, and that's the physical prototypes. And you always have this combination of analytic and physical going together. So it is being done, and it is done at a different levels and different organizations. And also it's different at a different attributes. So when you bring in a mature attributes, which have been done again and again, some of these things can be done analytically, because you have enough correlation and a confidence, what we call it, a confidence in those simulation models that you can do a sign off. But to be honest, that's one area where a lot has been accomplished and then long ways to go, because the innovation and technology never stops. And you're always introducing new way of doing things, new materials, new concepts. And that's why it's a combined world we continue to live in.
So then, what are the key requirements that are being validated for software systems, you know, as we talk about software and systems engineering?
Right. So the requirements in terms of software systems, you will, and in fact, software is becoming so central. Even some of the embedded software, the hardware operations are happening, they are being controlled by software. So there's so many different types of software design and development in the vehicles today and serving the vehicle that you need to validate software as well as the mechanical parts in the same disciplined, structured way as you were doing in the physical test environment. So that's a huge requirement, and we continue to do that. Again, in terms of the combination of things, you could have a simulation model of a vehicle dynamics scenario, but then you could have a vehicle simulator which is running in a physical lab test environment. And these two could be working together. The inputs could be coming from your simulation models, feeding into the physical test models, and then you get the end result as a combination of those two.
And this is how you build that confidence that you were talking about, that your simulations are accurately representing the real world?
That is correct. Yes.
It also sounds like, as we talked about earlier with product development, needing to become connected, interdisciplinary, is that the same for simulation as well?
Yes, simulation, it is the same when, and there's obviously set of technologies are used called, let's say, multidiscipline optimization. So you have different attributes like a durability and a NVH, which is noise, vibration, and harshness, and a safety requirements running in their own functional areas. But at the end of the day, sometimes you have to bring a cross attribute trade-off. You have to pick for a given design what one is of higher importance and what do you need to sacrifice? I think in a traditional way, do it all the time. For example, when you're doing a weight optimization, it becomes absolutely necessary that the trade-offs we are doing to deliver a certain weight, what are the attributes are of importance? Everyone would like to have everything, but sometimes you have to make those compromises. A good example could be a company X could relax on their requirements for noise, vibration, or harshness as compared to delivering on durability if they want to maintain the image of building tough. And the others might go the other way around. They say, for my products, let's say it's a work truck, maybe NVH is not as critical, even though we'll like to have that, but some other attribute is more important, and that's the cross-attribute optimization and trade-off, and you can, in my mind, do those things only with simulation in a very, very effective way.
Yeah, so modern cars have a lot of requirements and a lot of things that they're trying to deliver on. How does product validation address all these requirements in a consistent and efficient manner?
That's where the MBSE approach, a discipline structure approach, comes into play. You know all those requirements. First of all, transparency of what's needed. It doesn't sound that it's that important, but in my experience, you came across many, many scenarios over the years where requirements were not that well understood. Product maturity went all the way up to building final product. You could have an error state in the requirements, or the requirements change along the way. Same way, during the development process, some priorities might change. And so you need to make sure at the end of the day, when you're doing a final validation, these things are coming together. And that becomes a very important, not only in the requirements phase, but in the design development and final validation phase.
And so, you know, we also love to talk about the future, you know, EVs, AVs. I'm curious, does product validation change with these new technologies, or is it sort of the same thing, but on a different scale?
Well, at a higher level, product validation stays the same. Certification, homologation stays the same. However, because of the new technologies, a new way of doing things, it becomes a lot more complex, the requirements itself, and hence the product development. And then your verification and validation becomes a lot more complex, and you have to look at it different ways of solving those. Let's use a couple of examples. In the autonomous vehicle development, as you mentioned, number of miles which need to be collected in a physical test might not even be possible based on the requirements, all the requirements it has to address. Number of scenarios an autonomous vehicle will drive through could be just a tremendous number. That means your requirements are increasing. And it's not going to be possible, humanly possible, to do that in a timely manner in a physical test requirement. There's several studies and publications that you will need millions of miles of driving, which you and I know is not possible in a physical test environment, given the time frame in which these vehicles need to be developed. So that has opened the doors for the importance of simulation. So you're creating these models, and then you're simulating that, and you're finding the edge cases, which are very critical for that given scenario. And with the same technology, same approaches, you narrow down a very few basic physical tests you need to run, and now you can contain it. Because at the end of the day, everyone wants to deliver a safe vehicle and a secure vehicle. And these are the techniques which are heavily relying on simulation technologies and then just getting a final validation for a few critical items for the physical testing. In fact, the same thing happens in today's environment. If you look at a vehicle development, a given vehicle might have hundreds of configurations by the time they go to the dealership in the hands of the customers. So in case of a truck, you could have a truck which is three different body styles, has got three different powertrain combinations, it's got different wheelbases. That's what you find on a dealer lot. Now, during the development process, you might not have enough time and ability to validate each one of those. So technologies like simulation come into play. You pick what are the worst case scenarios out of all these combinations, and then you validate only for those combinations and do the estimation, through the simulation technologies for other variants. And that's how you can address and still make sure your overall fleet being delivered is safe, but it's not coming through a 100% validation of each one of those configurations, as I touched on.
And so, you know, also looking sort of to the future, many companies obviously are interested in trying to integrate their vehicles within a city or regional infrastructure. How might verification and validation handle integrations like that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot in terms of different requirements. So in fact, we haven't been talking about our solutions we offer, but it's a good example. I have to talk in the autonomous vehicle development. It's not only a vehicle anymore, it's the infrastructure. So we have the capability of working with our Siemens smart infrastructure team and the mobility teams of the larger Siemens organization. And that, in fact, gives us a competitive advantage as well, that we can model the cities. We can model the different traffic conditions. We can model the different conditions of the lighting, the product with the sun, where you can see how the sun rays are coming into. You can model all those things, right? So you have a virtual models of the city and the city infrastructure, and you have a virtual model of the car. So it allows you to validate not only the car itself, but in the environment it is operating in. So the smart infrastructure used to be about the lighting of the traffic lighting system in the city, but now you can take it much beyond that by having a virtual city, which is physics-based, as well as the vehicle. So that's how the verification and validation is changing.
And that actually even extends into electronics devices, correct?
That's right. That extends into electronic devices, that also into what's technical term, the EMI, making sure that is happening, validation for those kind of things. So all that comes into play. So what we have, what we call chip to city. So you need to do this verification and validation at a chip level, because now the role of electronics in a car has become very, very important. It might not be an individual chip, but it could be a SoCs, the systems on chip, which is driving, so to say, the virtual driver part of an autonomous vehicle. You need to validate those. And again, simulation and emulation of those is very, very critical. And we have solutions and offerings in that arena, building all the way up to a full vehicle level verification and validation in a test environment, and then taking that beyond vehicle into a city infrastructure and the city models, and integrating all these things together. So that's where the verification and validation is extending into.
So just to wrap up, are there any other aspects of product validation that you think are important for listeners to know?
I think the absolute critical thing is in product validation, assuring the requirements you started the product with are getting addressed, and there's a transparency of information, what we call digital thread, throughout from the concept to all the way into verification and validation. That is the most important thing. And that's what gives a company like Siemens an opportunity to create a digital twin of the virtual model and the physical model. So we make sure the correlation is there throughout. And that's what we call functional digital twin. And validation is a big piece of that.
Well, Nand, thank you again. And as usual, your insight has been excellent. I mean, truly, truly exceptional.
Thanks, Connor. I always enjoy talking to you.